Beach easy.
Hey, mamas. Welcome back to another episode of I Speak Mama, the show where we chat about the chaos that is mamahood. Grab your favorite beverage, give your kids the iPad, and take a break, because today's topic is all about mom friends. I'm Jen, Colton and Nolan's mom.
I'm Shannon, Gabriel and Grayson's mom. And today we're talking about a subject that I never thought about when I became a mom.
Right? Like something that you don't think about having to remake friends,
no.
But it's so true. Anyway,
yeah.
Before we jump in,
okay.
I want to remind our listeners to stick around. We have a very special interview with Renee Atkinson, who is the South Carolina Teacher of the Year. We had the opportunity to catch up with her at the 2023 Ignite Women's Conference, which is an annual event meant to empower and support women held in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So please stick around, listen to the interview. She is an absolutely fabulous person.
She is.
We can't wait to introduce her to our audience. So make sure you stay to the end of this episode to listen to that interview.
Definitely.
And Shannon,
yes.
I have some updates from our last episode.
How are we doing? Are we keeping our clothes on?
Clothes are on.
Okay.
We have not been kicked out of school.
Yay.
In fact, we had a fabulous week last week.
Yay, what happened?
Just all green stars throughout the entire week. We kept everything in line, ready to go. And we survived Halloween.
Woo-hoo! So. did Colton hand out candy?
He did. Yes. Yeah, so we stuck to our guns.
No
trick or treating. No, he did wear his last year's Halloween costume to school.
And it still fit? Wow.
It did.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And it was one of those, like, I think it was more of a punishment for Lewis and I looking back than it
was
for Colton. But we made it through. And I think maybe there was something. And I really do think that part of it was the vacation. So, like, thank you for bringing that up because we made it through, you know, the rest of that week, limped through the finish line of the end of that week. And we had a good week this week going forward. So,
yay. Good job, Colton.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you to all our listeners. I had so many people reach out to me who were like, you can do this. You got this.
Trust me, you're not the only mom that goes through this kind of stuff.
We
all go through our own obstacles, but it definitely, you know, we've all experienced something and we'll continue to experience something.
I'm sure I will have another story to share. Probably even after picking him up from daycare today.
You know, or when he gets to regular school and you know you get that principal phone call like I've gotten a few times. Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know you're happy.
You.
And and Lewis and y'all saw eye to eye even though it was hard.
It was.
Because I know everybody has their own parenting skills, but you have to work together and actually find that good
solution. We found that common ground that works best for Colton.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Yay.
And, you know, we just got another one to raise up the rest of the way. So.
Well, usually the second child is the worst, in a sense, or just the wildest. So maybe
aggression that, like, if you take something away from him, he is not yelling because you took it away. He is yelling at you because you were the person that took it away.
So we're going to have some sharing issues.
Towards you when you take something away.
Okay, never mind. So good luck. Stay tuned, probably in the next year.
Exactly. More stories to come. But, you know, today we're talking about something that is very important for all mothers' sanities, and those are those very special people in our lives that are mom friends.
That is the truth.
And I am lucky enough to call you a mom friend.
Aww,
thank you so much.
Vice versa.
Yes.
Who would have thought just however long ago we met and then everything that
we've
gone
through. What it would become. I mean, we knew each other prior to kids, both of us.
I think even prior, I don't know if we were married.
I was not married. I know that.
I may have been married. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
our friendship is probably strongest now because of
relatable experiences.
Exactly.
Too. Yeah.
And, you know, work brought us together, but our friendship through our kids and who they are is what has made our friendship the strongest, I think.
Oh,
would you say that?
Without a doubt. Boy moms, we just have a special connection.
It's true.
Because, you know, I have friends that have boy and girl or girls, but boy moms just understand the whole dynamic of how boys are and continuously can be on a daily basis.
You know, looking back, and we kind of chatted about this at the beginning, but, like, when you become a mom, you don't realize that your friendships change. Those people that don't have kids, or your friends that don't have kids, they're not going through the same experiences that you are.
Or even your friends that their kids may be a lot older. Like, I know my kids are a little bit older, but they're not in, like, teenage years yet. We used to be good friends with several people that, you know, that Barrett grew up with and things. But their kids are so much older that we just don't have as much in common, nor do we have the same, you know, extracurricular activities and things going on in life. It's not that we're not ignoring or, you know, forgotten, but it's just, you know, sometimes you connect better with, you're going through the same obstacles.
Right. And you have to find people that are going to be where you're going to be.
Yeah.
And majority of the time, it's going to be where your kids are.
Yeah. So. And understand that on a Friday night, sometimes I'm, you know, I don't really want to go to happy hour.
Correct.
You know, it might just be, I just want to go home and have a movie night with my own family.
Right.
And exactly. It's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, where have you found your mom friends, essentially?
Honestly, some of my closest friends have come through sports.
Yeah.
So we play baseball, flag football, and basketball. And really looking back at the many people that we hang out with, whether it be during the week or even on the weekends, have been those parents. And we've been able just, not only me, but actually Barrett, my husband, has been able to connect, you know, with the dads as well, just because we just have so much in common. And we understand, you know, what everyone is going through. And it's actually helped us just really expand our friendship base. And it's not all within the work world.
Yeah.
And if not saying with you and I, we've known each other besides work world, but sometimes you do get connected to your coworkers. And those are the ones that you're around so much that those are the ones you typically may go to lunch or go to happy hour or do something on the weekends with. But, you know, we're just very blessed to be able to start sports a few years ago and really meet some wonderful people from that.
And you're doing things outside of the sports world because of that.
And also birthday parties.
I was going to say that, too.
So, you know, I am that bit. I'm not as great this day and time, but when we were in daycare, I was huge about trying to go to as many of the birthday parties as we could, just because that was a way to, we get to know our kids' friends and then, of course, the parents. And this day and time, we laugh because my mom's like, wait, you don't just drop off? No, you don't. Yeah. You stay for the whole birthday party, no matter where it is, whether it's a trampoline park or an outdoor, you know, playground or even over at someone's house. But the parents do typically stay. And it is a great way just to, you know, hang out and celebrate not only the kid, but also the parents are celebrating. We made it another year.
Exactly. And it's funny. I try not to do this, but I tend to be like, okay, I think I would get along with that mom because she has, you know, she has a more relaxed look about her on a Saturday at a birthday party than, you know, maybe someone who went full on out outfit wise. And, and I shouldn't do that, but like,
you know,
I tend to gravitate towards those.
I like the moms that are in the leggings on the weekends.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
But what about you guys? Because you guys are still in the daycare stage. Are you guys attending birthday parties or how are y'all meeting friends?
Yeah, I mean, birthday parties for sure. They seem to come in waves. It's funny, like you'll get like four, you know, in a couple of weeks and then we won't have any for a couple of months, which I find is funny. But also I've had a couple of moms who, you know, have heard about Colton through daycare. And I actually had one so sweet. She left a handwritten note in
for
my,
a play date.
It was the sweetest thing. You know, addressed it to Colton's parents and left her telephone number. And I was like, that is just so nice.
That is nice.
We've reached out. We haven't done the play date yet.
Okay.
But, you know, it'll happen. Yeah, I know. I need to.
You know, we were blessed to be able to do that a few times. And we've become friends with a lot of those people. So, and it's just great for the kids to be able to hang out with their friends outside of school and daycare and have that. Because even though that the boys are brothers and yours as well, you know, sometimes they need more than just each other.
For sure. Absolutely. One thing, like, that I define my mom friends and is a person that I feel comfortable sharing my kids' photos with and as many as possible.
Yeah.
You know, my friends that I have that don't have kids, I often feel guilty about sharing photos of my kids or just sending like, hey, this was them at the playground or whatever it might be, because I don't think that they care that much. Yeah. I mean, I know they care about my kids, but not to the level of moms understand that sharing photos is what brings us joy.
Exactly. So. What about like just sending each other funny memes?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's one of my favorite things to do. Myself and actually one of my close girlfriends, she recently had a child not too long ago. But we send each other memes constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's to the point that Barrett's like, okay, there goes your phone again. Mm-hmm. I bet it was yet another meme.
And you're probably communicating
something
with her on several different platforms.
Exactly.
Like through text message, through and DMs, through all of it.
Yeah. Instagram, Facebook, and everything. But it's just fun, and it's a good little giggle to be able to have that.
Absolutely.
But a lot of times we can totally relate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nothing says it better than a meme, right? We're in the world of society right now where it's like, well, if there's not a meme for that, it probably doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Exactly. Well, did you ever have a hard time with meeting friends?
I will say, so for me, I am not a girl's girl to begin with. I've always had more male friends than I have female friends.
I understand that.
And, you know, I would much rather go sit at a bar and watch a sports game and eat wings than I would go to brunch. Now, don't get me wrong. Brunch every once in a while is great. And I love gossip just as much as the next person.
But I'd rather have nachos and wings and a beer.
But, yeah, I want to go in. And if I'm going to escape, I want to do that as opposed to.
Well, and neither one of us are big on dressing up. I mean, we have to dress up for work, but nothing crazy, insane. So I understand with you.
So, you know, I have very close girlfriends in my life, not a ton of them.
Yeah.
But, and my mom is my closest friend in the entire world. And call her every day and talk to her every
day.
Me
too. So I get it.
She is mom friend number one and regular friend number one as well. But when we were in Raleigh and when Colton was born, when we were there, I had my college roommate lived there. And she's a regular listener to the show. And, you know, I thought that we would do everything together and it would be just like college. But, you know, our lives changed a little bit. Yeah. And it wasn't. We both had different things going on. And when I had Colton, you know, she was there to support me and be part of it. But, you know, it was different.
Yeah.
You know, she at that time didn't have kids. She does now. So we are actually getting closer together because of our bond over our children at this point. Yeah, exactly. But I felt very alone in Raleigh. And I didn't have an outlet to make friends. And part of it was COVID. Yeah. So, like, take that aside. But I mean, I even looked into some of those apps. I think there's an app called Peanut where you just go and basically say, like, hey, I'm a mom and I'm looking for friends.
That's cool. I've never heard of that. I know they have Facebook groups here that are like the mom only groups of just meetups of like, hey, let's meet up at the park or whatever it may be. But
yeah, I mean, this is
it's hard to make friends as an adult.
It really is. It's super. I mean, you just walk up to somebody and be like, hey, you look like a person I want to hang out with.
Well,
you
and I both are very reserved. I'm a very open book as in, hey, this is, you know, what we got going on. But I'm very reserved to my feelings and true personal things in a sense. And I know you're very reserved as well. So it takes a lot for us to trust a person. You know, we can be acquaintances with many, but to gain that trust is huge.
Yeah.
So.
And even, you know, the close friends that I have here, that a lot of them came from Lewis's friendships.
Friendships,
And I
and
love those.
A lot.
I love those girls so much. Like, you know, we do our own things now. But it's funny that they came through the friends that Lewis had.
Yeah.
To make a new personal connection.
Yeah.
It's hard to come by.
It really is. Well, and you also have to have someone who understands that, okay, my child is sick. I'm sorry. I got to cancel plans within an hour notice or whatever it may be.
Yep.
And people who don't have kids, sometimes they don't understand
that. I mean, the night that Colton got in trouble at school, I was supposed to go out for a girls' dinner with a bunch of group of ladies. And it was one of those I was like, I have to cancel. Like, sorry, you know, it's just not. My family has to come first on this one. And I, you know, and luckily enough, that group, we have scheduled regular monthly dinner meetups.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, a fun little way to get together and just kind of release and relax. And
we all need that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So we did. It was actually funny. We did themes. So this past year we went to every Mexican restaurant in the area.
Okay.
And next year we're going to hit up Italian. So we might gain 500 pounds by the time Italian's over with.
You got tons of memories.
Exactly. So we went from like margaritas to probably red wine. That goes with Italian, right?
There you go.
Next season.
Oh, well, that would be fun.
Yeah.
But you also, like, for me, so we have, my kids have their Thanksgiving lunches at school this week. I'm actually having to miss a few events at work. And, you know, it was almost kind of hard to say, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to miss a couple of events because just that 20, 30 minutes of being able to go to my kids' school to have lunch with them is a big deal. So it is hard to kind of, with the priorities and things.
Right.
The,
but you do have to do it.
You have to do it.
And you almost feel guilty if you don't. You have to put yourself in that comfort zone.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing about when you're hanging out with mom friends is you know that they're feeling that guilt about being away from their family too.
Not a doubt.
So if you need to wrap up dinner,
everyone's
feeling a little bit guilty. Everyone understands.
Yes.
And that's, you know, those are the types of thing qualities that you need to find when you're looking for that
or
mom friend.
And you know, too, it's having mom friends that don't make you feel guilty, but also that don't put you down.
Yeah.
Don't judge you. We all have our own parenting. We all parent differently. There are some things, of course, that we have in common, but there's a lot of things that we don't. And everybody has their own ways of doing things and not to actually look, you know, I don't know, just sometimes I have met people and, you know, I've been friends with different people or more acquaintances, but the judgy, you know, feeling and that's just...
Yeah.
Not what you want to be around either. So, yeah.
I mean, I want the mom friend that, much like you told me the other day when I had a big rip in my pants. And
right?
You were like, Jen?
You need to go to Target. Or if you have something in your teeth.
Yeah.
That is the worst. If I have lipstick on my teeth, please tell me.
Yeah. The best mom friends will tell you.
Right? Because I don't want to look like a complete fool in front of people. And it's like... And my husband, I hate to say it, but he doesn't pay that close attention. But us women usually do pay attention. So, yeah, that's fun. We'll have to have some of our mom friends on.
I know.
And just, like,
and talk about all kinds of different things.
Yeah. Are there certain things that you suggest on doing with your mom friends? I know you said your outings, your monthly outings, but are there things that you guys like to do?
You know, honestly, like, the mom friends that I have, I don't see them that often, but it's more of just conversations and knowing that they're there.
And you're not a big, like, talk on the phone type person either.
No.
Yeah.
No.
There are some friends that I have that we will vent, you know, for a good maybe 20, 30 minutes. And then there's some friends that I may never pick up the phone to call them. We will text or whatever, but never pick up the phone to call them. So it's just like... You almost think something's the matter if one of them call.
When you see their name
happened? Yeah, exactly. So we actually, though, we enjoy, too, some of the things of just even going to the football games, baseball games, as all the families. I mean, I know that the husbands and, you know, dads are around, but it is great just to be able to have all of that camaraderie and get together and hang out with that. So.
And knowing what... those moms went through to make that happen just to get out the door. Like, it's nice to, to know that when you show up 15 minutes late to something
and it's not,
no mom cares.
No.
Because they're like, oh, you had
a
morning that I had yesterday or whatever it might be.
And usually you're in a kind of a bad mood because it's just like, they went and listened, but they went put their shoes on. Oh, they didn't even have their drinks or they didn't even have their jackets or whatever it may be. It's like, why do we have to continuously remind you on every single thing?
Yeah.
Good times.
I mean, when you had your first one, did you think that, like, your friendships would change? Or, I mean, I honestly never even thought about mom friends before having kids.
I never thought about it. I will say I was one of those moms that, you know, I knew a lot of different people, but I wasn't very close to, and I've never really been truly close to a lot of women. I'm the same way. My mom is my best friend. I have some friends that I've stayed friends for many, many years, but I've never had that many close friends until now as being a mom. So I didn't really have that support system to really lean on to see, okay, what to expect or what not to expect. Everybody wants to give you their advice. Don't get me wrong, but you kind of have to experience it on your own. Yeah. So with Gabriel, honestly, you know, I took 6 weeks off from maternity leave, and then 2 weeks I was doing part-time. So I feel as if that, you know, just those 6 weeks, it was just nice just to hang out with Gabriel. But then for that first, you know, year, it was trial and error. Mm-hmm. But it did make Barrett and I a lot closer, too, just because it's like, I don't really know who to talk to, but
right.
Let's just sit down and discuss this, because that was actually when Barrett was working out of town anyway. I always knew I wanted to be a mom and a wife. Mm-hmm. So, but it also doesn't define me either. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm Shannon, and, you know, I've been able to accomplish a lot of things in my life, and very, very blessed for those things. So, yeah, I will say, though, I love, even though sometimes you're like, okay, let's hope it rains, maybe the baseball game will be canceled, just because of practice, sometimes it's kind of, yeah. Oh, here we go again. But I actually enjoy going out to, you know, baseball, football, basketball, and things like that, just because that's also my social time, too.
Right, yeah.
So
that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I saw it in T-ball
for
the 6 weeks that we were there. You know, you're looking at the kids, and, you know, one of the last games, the wife of the coach, and she kind of was always on the field the whole time, essentially playing mom to all the kids while the coach was out there. And her son, one of the last games, like, would not uncling from her leg and just stuck to it. And he didn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah.
And you could just tell that she was in a way. And I saw, at least myself included, come up and like, hey, can we help? What can we do? You know, do you want us to take him and entertain him for a little while? Or, like, do you want to go out and we'll take over? And, you know, she didn't take us up on any of the offers, and totally understand. But to see that mom camaraderie come together, because we've all been there.
We've all been there.
We all understand that exact situation.
Well, and it's also fun, too, to see other parents cheering on your kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
You know, you'll grow with all of them. And a lot of times you'll stay on the same team throughout, you know, baseball, whatever the sport may be, which is fun, because you'll see all of the kids, just how close they get and how the parents get. But everybody's cheering them on. And it's really sweet just to be able to see that.
Yeah.
And looking back when I was younger, I don't remember that.
You know, it's probably something that, as a player, you don't notice.
You don't
notice. You know what I mean?
But as the parent, it's like, yeah, wow, they're cheering my kids on. That's so cool. Thank you.
Yes, exactly.
So,
and it encourages you to want to do the same thing for them.
Exactly, exactly. We have our own little chants and everything else.
Aww.
So, oh, yes.
That makes me so excited.
Oh,
I can't wait to jump in.
It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. It really is. And it's fun to be able to see what you're experiencing right now with T-ball.
Mm-hmm.
We would all crack up because, you know, the kids didn't know which base to run to.
No.
Like, you know, they were hitting each other, like throwing the ball, like up in the air, sitting in the outfield. Oh, that was the best, you know, looking up at the sky, watching the birds or whatever it may be.
And they all flocked to the ball like a seagull.
Yes, yes.
And they, like, tackle each other to get to it. And then when they get it, they have no idea what to
do with
it.
They don't know what to do with
it.
So it's fun to be able to see what you're experiencing right now. Video some of those things, too.
Oh, for sure.
I did not video that well, but we have one mom. She is amazing. Her husband is one of our coaches and has been one of our coaches through the past 3 years. He coaches us in baseball and flag football. And she makes sure she videos everything. I know her phone. I don't even know how it works with all the videos that she has. But I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, thank you. You know, you
these
recorded
are memories.
Yet another one.
Yes.
So so those are memories that pop up, and it's sweet to be able to see that.
Yeah.
So our mom friends.
I know.
We'll definitely have
them.
Some mom friends
yes.
on. Maybe we can get a couple people that we both know pretty well.
Yeah.
And
who from, like, the celebrity world would you think that you would be good mom friends with?
Huh. That's a good question.
No, I'm putting you on the spot. I'm sorry.
Trying to think when it comes to, when it comes to, though, the celebrity moms, I feel is, this is awful, but they look so
they're not
fake.
True moms.
Yeah. You know, they make it look like, oh, it's so easy, but yet you have five nannies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be nice to have a chef, you know, someone who cleans your house.
Their problems and, the same as our problems.
Yeah, so I don't really know as to who would be my, I'm trying to think who might, Jennifer Gardner. She seems to be very supportive and protective over her children. And just, she looks like she is a normal person. Mm-hmm.
And she has that company, Once Upon a Farm, that's like made for kids with the organic side. So
she might be a good one.
Thinking about, you know, what it takes to be a mom.
What it takes to be a mom. But I honestly, I mean, I don't...
Or maybe she's just profiting on us altogether.
Who knows? But I mean, I will say, I don't think I really have a particular celebrity parent who is just like, oh my goodness, like you are a rock star, or at least no one comes to mind.
Yeah.
Do you have anyone that comes to mind?
I mean, this might be controversial, but I think like Khloe Kardashian is a great, great mother. At least the TV show makes her look that way.
The TV show makes her look that way,
and I do think that, and she's willing to share the good, the bad, the ugly. So, like, I feel like we would get along really well in that sense. And I also feel like she could use some mom friends.
She's been through a lot. One great thing I will say, even though the Kardashians are who they are, they seem to always put family first, which is huge. And I love the fact that they still get together, have their family, you know, lunches or dinners, things like that. So that I definitely would agree with you on that. And yeah, she probably does need a few mom friends just to be able to say, you got this.
Right.
Great job.
Yeah.
You know.
You're doing a great job.
You know, you don't.
Send her some memes every once in a while. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Make her laugh.
Exactly. I'm like really now trying to rack my brain as to who puts on that, you know, great mom vibe. Yeah. A lot of our celebrities do, though. They seem to, which I appreciate, too, is that they don't show their kids off all the time, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So I always think about that, you know, we've certainly put our kids' faces out there. And you know, our audience isn't huge the way that some of these mega superstars are. But the moms that do completely cover faces and all of that, I'm like, good for you. Like,
good for you.
That takes energy and effort to make sure your kids are not out there. But, you know, let them decide when it's time to... Or at least make it a little bit, you know, delay the process of showing who they are. So,
and for us, too, I think that we actually post things just because we're so proud.
Yes.
You know, those are proud moments that we have, whether it's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. So that just happened. Or just, you know, a true experience. It's a birthday. It's a celebration, whatever it may be. So I love to be able to share, though, my kids and, you know, and because I'm so proud of them. I mean, I really am. Like, you know, I didn't realize what life was truly in before having the boys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was happy, but it brought a whole new, you know,
level of joy,
another spot in my heart that I never thought would actually fill my heart completely the way that they do, because there's never a dull moment.
No.
Mm-mm. Never. You know, and
there's never a moment without worry.
No, not at all.
You just learned to live with it, I think.
You just learned to live with it. Like last night, so Grayson, he was, of course, being Grayson, playing sports, doing whatever during cup care, which is after school care, and he ran into the air conditioning unit outside on the playground.
Bless.
Girl, I didn't even check it until before he was about to go to bed. He's like, Mama, my head really does hurt. He's got a big old goose knot on the back of his head. So, of course, last night, I'm like toss and turn it. And yes, I still have the monitors because they sleep upstairs. I sleep downstairs and I'm just need to make sure. And I'm like, okay, all right, we're good.
So when you hear those bumps in the night, you can check and see.
Yes, because you know, I'm very particular and I'm just like, oh goodness. One day, I don't know if there'll be another day if we'll sleep again, but it's all good.
The time changes messed us.
Has it messed y'all up?
Oh. Yeah, terribly.
So it hasn't really messed us up too much. Sunday was amazing because the day seemed like it was so long. And all we did was lay around the house and watch movies. And it was, well, the boys and I did. Barrett watched football. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. We kept on our PJs and we haven't had a day like that. And I could not tell you. So it was wonderful. We actually, Gabriel and I watched that movie about the swimmer who swam
the English Channel.
Yeah, 100 miles from Cuba to Florida. That was really interesting. Okay. And Gabriel, he even appreciated the fact of just, wow, Mama, she really wanted to do that. So it's really cool just to see, like, you know, and then show the motivation that you can have. So.
What streaming?
It was on Netflix. It was
okay.
Nayeda.
Yeah. I've heard people talk about that one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was really, it was cool. It was powering. So anyways.
I mean, I think that's all I have for you today.
I think that's it, yeah.
I just want to say thank you to all my mom friends out there, including you.
Yes.
Including you, Shannon, for sure. And, you know, all of our listeners. If you've got things that you want to share with us, please do. We're mom friends.
Yeah.
Bring it on. Bring it on,
maybe
ladies.
Share some stories with us on how you met some of your close mom friends.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd love to hear that because mm-hmm. we all meet each other in different walks of life.
We do. For sure.
So with that.
I mean, today's chat has been really, really fun.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we got to have this conversation. You know, we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in and making it all the way to the end of this conversation.
Yes.
Or mom-servation. Be sure to stick around and catch our interview with the South Carolina Teacher of the Year, Renee Atkinson. And she's actually in the running for National Teacher of
yes.
the Year. So we're excited for
we
that.
Are. And she's a mom also.
She is a mom. Yep. And, you know, make sure that you subscribe to the show. Wherever you listen, we're on all platforms. We've got more to talk about and fun things to come.
All right.
We'll see you next time. Bye, guys. Hey, mamas. Welcome back. We have a very, very, very special episode today. It's kind of a bonus episode.
It is.
We're here at the, is it second annual?
Second annual Ignite Women's Conference.
Correct.
The Myrtle Beach Area Chamber of Commerce.
And, you know, we were lucky enough to be invited to record again this year.
Yeah. You missed last year.
I did.
You were on maternity
leave. Yes.
I think you had just either had Nolan or was about to have Nolan.
Yeah. I listened and cried because I knew I was missing out.
Oh.
It might have been the hormones, but, you know, either way.
It's all good. Well, we are excited to be here.
And this is, we get to talk to some amazing people, and that's kind of why we want to bring the episode to the conference and just get the chance to be with women who are doing amazing things and hear stories that are inspiring all of us.
Yes. The person that's sitting right across from us right now is one amazing person. She is actually Renee Atkinson. She's the 2024 South Carolina Teacher of the Year. Wow. She's a teacher, an English teacher at that, at Anyer High, and is in her 21st year in education and 17th year within Horry County Schools. As a parent that has kids within Horry County Schools, I am ecstatic to talk to you. So please welcome Renee. Thank you for being here.
Thank y'all so much for having me. This is an awesome opportunity.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about the South Carolina Teacher of the Year program and all the...
Yeah, what does it mean?
Yeah, like, what does it mean?
What's the honor all about?
So essentially, when you're named like your county Teacher of the Year, you participate in the South Carolina Teacher Forum for the year. And so you're a member of the South Carolina Teacher Forum. And all of those teachers fill out the South Carolina Teacher of the Year application. And then if you make the top five, like I did, you participate in a pretty intensive interview process where you're asked about different questions as they relate to education issues in public education today. And then another one of the interviews, they came and recorded a 5-minute segment of my class. And then they interviewed me about the planning process and what they saw and how it works and how I would handle certain situations or students, how I build relationships with my students, and also, share special stories about students that were in the class. And so, and then on April 26th, I was named the South Carolina Teacher of the Year, one of 55,000 plus teachers in the state. And so now for the year, I am the spokesperson essentially for education across the state. I visit schools. I participate in teacher cadet college days and visit teacher cadet classes to inspire those high school students to potentially be a teacher. I work with the Teaching Fellows program through Sarah. And so those are students who have gone through a lengthy interview process themselves. And so they're given a fellowship for their undergraduate degree. And then as, their payment for that, that fellowship, they give 4 years of service as educators to the state of South Carolina. I speak to various groups, whether it's public information officials across the state, human resource directors, instructional leaders. I've met with, college partners, programs, you know, people who the universities that have education programs and those teachers and leaders in those programs, professors, And so I have been burning up the roads.
I was going to say, you are all over the place. And talking about burning up the roads, you do get a special incentive for the year, right?
Oh, yes. So I'm driving a 2023 BMW X5.
Watch out.
For the year. That came right off the assembly line from Greenville-Spartanburg area.
That's awesome.
And that's been, you know, really awesome, too.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Maybe my husband will let me keep it at the end.
Ooh. Do you get that option? Is that it?
I hope so.
Let's hope.
Yes. And on top of all of this, you're also a mother.
Yes.
Yes.
And married.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. So how often are you on the road almost every single day? Do you have some free time to be able to come home and see the kids and the husband?
October has been a very intense month. So even some weekends, I know like this past Sunday, I was in Aiken. So I left right after church and drove up to Aiken to meet with the USC Aiken teaching fellows. But I'm somewhere almost every day. And I try to keep that to like two nights away a week if possible. Sometimes when I'm participating in Leadership South Carolina or like last week when I'm an education policy fellows, it might require a little bit of more, you know, time away, but potentially I try to keep it to two nights away because that's hard. Luckily, my parents and my husband's parents are close by, and so they can help support us in this process. But it certainly, you know, it's been a little different when my kids are used to me being the mom Uber.
Yeah.
Uber mom. Yeah.
I understand that. All the sports and extracurricular activities. Well, how is it doing this versus being in the classroom on a daily basis?
So it's been very different. It's rewarding in a sense that I get to see and speak with people and participate in things that I would not have an opportunity otherwise. Like with the Education Policy Fellows program this year, with that group is education leaders from across the state. And so we'll start to work on a policy project that we could potentially present to the State Department or to the General Assembly to maybe make a difference in a positive way in an area in education. So, you know, obviously that's not these leadership roles that I'm having an opportunity to participate in are a little different than what I normally would do on a daily basis. But the advocacy part, like I'm always speaking out and trying to do what's best for kids. That's just grown from being, you know, the kids that are inside my classroom or in the school or in our district, you know, to speak in for the kids across the state. So to do what's right for kids across the state. So it's been a little different, and I do miss my kiddos. So usually I loop up with my juniors to the senior year. And so that was a really hard transition to not get to spend an extra year with those guys, especially since one of them was my nephew. and I think he was even a little disappointed that I wasn't going to be his teacher this year. Yeah.
Now, do you get to go back to Aynor High here and there to at least visit with the kiddos?
I do. Occasionally, I try to block off a day at least once a month to go in and help support. One of the things that I did at school, I was the IB coordinator at Aynor High School, mm-hmm. and so that position had to transition to another employee there at the school, and so I've been trying to help support her as much as possible because that's a really big job.
I was going to say, yeah,
sounds
definitely.
Like it. What inspired you to be a teacher from the beginning?
Okay, so you want to hear a funny story?
I do. Yes. I love funny stories.
I didn't want to be a teacher.
Oh wow! And I was the opposite. I wanted to be a teacher. I was like, oh goodness.
So I'm the oldest of four kids. So always had, you know, a lot of responsibility. My mom always signed me up to help with Bible school and different things like that. I taught swim lessons, but I was a teacher cadet mainly in high school because I really loved the teacher. She was my Algebra 2 teacher in ninth grade. And if I mean, my parents had very high expectations, so I wouldn't say I really made bad grades. But if I was going to struggle in a class, typically it was math. And so she was an amazing math teacher and made me feel really confident about my math skills. And so to have an opportunity to take her again for an elective my senior year, I was like, well, that's a no-brainer. You know, I need an easy class. I'm taking AP Calculus. I'm taking, you know, Francis Marion English and English 5. I'm taking all these physics heavy hitter classes. I'm like, I need a little something else. And so I went back to my own fifth grade teacher's class. She was where I did my internship for teacher cadet. And so it's funny, like I made my first C ever on my report card in my fifth grade teacher's class in fractions. And so when I was a teacher cadet in her classroom, she made me teach math.
fraction specifically?
It was mean, median, and mode. And like, I was super excited about the lesson. I wanted to do a good job. You know, she was one of my, well, people have asked me that, who's your favorite teacher? I can't answer that question. I had a lot of wonderful teachers growing up in Mullins, and she was certainly one of them. But she was the first person to tell me, I think you should be a teacher. And so I laughed and, you know, kind of gave her a big hug and told her, you know, thank you for thinking so, but I have other plans. I was, I got accepted to Clemson in pre-physical therapy, and then I changed it at orientation to health science with an emphasis in athletic training.
Okay.
I wanted to be a personal trainer or professional trainer, and I wanted to marry an Atlanta Braves baseball player. And then I wanted to retire. Then I wanted to retire.
By like 40?
And be as, no, not even then. Okay. Like, I had a student, she graduated last year. She was like, Miss Atkinson, do you think I could just be a stay-at-home? I was like a stay-at-home mom? She was like, no, just a stay-at-home. Just a stay-at-home. Yeah. I was like, so I told her, I was like, well, I guess maybe we had similar aspirations. a big roadblock my freshman year of college, chemistry 101. I made a 4-hour D in chemistry, and that Christmas I got a letter from Clemson saying I was on academic probation.
Oh, and how did mom and dad take that?
That did not go well, because I was on a full scholarship.
Oh.
Yeah, and so that was a really wonderful Christmas present.
Yeah.
And so then I started evaluating, like, what am I really good at? You know, like, what are my talents? What would I enjoy? And so I changed my major to history, and it took me a little while to kind of land on a minor, which was English. And then my dad sat me down one day, and he's like, okay, what are we going to do with this? And
where is this headed?
He said, because you've changed your major so many times, like, you're going to have to be here for, you know, what we call the victory lap.
Yeah.
That extra football season. And he said, I think since we're doing that, like, you're going to, I want you to consider adding on, you know, teaching certification. And so I did, and I had a really unique teaching, like, student teaching experience at Clemson. I don't know that many people have ever had one quite like mine. But when I was finished, I knew without a doubt, like, this is where I belong. This is what I, but I think part of it was, and why I had that mindset, that most teachers were elementary teachers. Mm-hmm. And I think that because I was not like a little person, that I didn't think about being a high school educator. And high school kids need that love and support and those trustworthy people. Yes, just like elementary kids mm-hmm. do. And sometimes they've been that long without it.
Yeah.
And it's really hard sometimes to build relationships with those kids. But I think it's important that they have people who will try.
Without a doubt.
And so I guess that's the long way to the answer to your question.
Well, it was a beautiful story.
That wasn't a funny story.
You must
love it. You've been doing it for 21 years now. That's wonderful in itself. Now, where were you before you came to Horry County Schools?
So I grew up in Mullins, which is just right across the river border mm-hmm. In Marion County. And so I went all the way to Clemson to meet a boy who grew up in Marion. And so before we graduated, he said, if you think you might want to marry me, like, let's go home. And so I moved home. But at the time, there was a hiring freeze in this part of the state. So Marion County had no openings. Horry County had no openings, which is kind of crazy to think the situation we're in now.
Wow. Right. Yeah, because we don't have enough teachers right now.
My chemistry and physics teacher, who had made me think I was good enough at it that I could major in it.
Uh-huh.
He was the assistant principal at Green C. Floyd's High School at the time. And so my first 2 years while I worked on my master's degree at Francis Marion, I taught at PD Academy, that's in between Marion and Mullins. And then when I finished that master's, the hiring freeze had been lifted. And so he reached out to my headmaster there at PD Academy, who has recently passed away. And he told me, he said, you know, you have a really big opportunity. And he encouraged me to take that opportunity and move across the river. And my husband, his grandparents were from Gallivant's Ferry. We were going to live in Horry County and obviously, you know, great schools here and potentially thinking about raising a family. So I worked for a couple of years at Green C. Floyd's, and then he was transferred his job. He went to work with Ag South Farm Credit. Mm-hmm. And so we moved down to the Lowcountry, and I taught at Colleton County High School in Walterboro for a couple of years. And then of course, he moved down there, and then Arbor One Farm Credit in Florence wanted to hire him, so we moved right back home. And so I taught at Early College High School that's on campus at Horry Georgetown Tech for about 5 years. Absolutely loved it. In fact, one of my former students was welcoming me in the door this morning.
Oh, that's wonderful. Uritza.
Yes, that was amazing. And then after I had kids, the commute from Galvin's Ferry to that side of Conway every day, it was tough, especially when my kids were so far away in daycare. And so fall of 2013, right before I had my son, I moved to Aynor High School, and I've been there ever since.
That's wonderful. Now, your daughter, is she the oldest?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So is your son, and is he the true second child, or is it opposite for you guys?
So they each have very unique personalities, and I don't know. When he was little, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, he was one you couldn't, like, if you turn your head, he'd be standing in the middle of the kitchen table shaking out the salt and pepper shakers. But he's also, he's very calm, and he's my people pleaser.
Okay.
You know, like, he wants to keep everybody happy. Now, he does have a very mischievous streak. He likes to go fast, you know, and when I say that, like, whether it's running fast away from you or, you know, he's on the four-wheeler tearing down the dirt road. But my daughter is more like that spirit, like her spirit is a little more wild. And so, like I was telling you guys before the podcast started, she would get in trouble in kindergarten for trying to teach the class. And so we moved her to Midland Elementary, which is our, you know, the one of our feeder schools for Aynor. When she was in second grade, EJ's been there since kindergarten. But the cooperative learning, like, really helped her stop getting in trouble for being herself. So that was a blessing, you know. And I will say, like, our elementary school is absolutely amazing. And she absolutely thrived and came into her own there. And of course, he's a different kind of kid, you know. Yeah. They're very different personalities, but they've both, you know, had a really successful experience in Horry County Schools.
And that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, you have been set to be so successful and have such a wonderful career and of course, be our South Carolina Teacher of the Year.
Yeah. So you said you didn't have a favorite teacher, but who inspires you on a regular basis? Is that a better question than maybe a favorite teacher?
So when I think about the type of teacher that I am and I think about the teachers that I had, you know, I could sit here and tell stories about so many of my teachers and really, like, from kindergarten. My husband's great aunt was my kindergarten teacher.
Oh, wow.
And of course, my great grandmother and their farm was right next to each other. She taught my grandparents in Chorus when she first moved to Mullins. Then she taught my dad and my mom, me, and both my younger brother and sister. Of the four of us, she only missed one. So she was a very important person in my household growing up. And then to marry into the family, and now she went from being my Miss Frances to my Aunt Frances. You know, that was really special. And she would sit with me when I was cheerleading coach at basketball games. Like, she's just a wonderful mentor. And I told my mom my first day as a teacher, and of course I was at PD Academy where I had gone to elementary school, and I said she was there on my first day of school as a student, and then she was there on my first day of school as a teacher. And so it was full circle moment. But I've had a lot of those. My 7th and 8th grade math teacher, Miss Julia Lynn Cook, she lives here in North Myrtle Beach now, but she taught in Mullins for a long, long time. And her daughter was one of my best friends growing up, spent a lot of time at their house. And so she moved to Horry County while I was in college. And then she retired, and she went to North Carolina, and then she retired. And then I went to work at Early College, and we got there for a conference that summer, and I roll up in the parking lot, and she's sitting there. I was like, "What are you doing here?" She was like, "What are you doing here?" And so we taught across the hall from each other. We shared an office. Like, it was an amazing 5 years. And so then, you know, one of my best friends growing up, then her mom became one of my best friends. Aww. You know, and so she was really awesome. And she pushed me, you know, when I was a student, to be the very best I could be. I feel like, you know, if I was learning something new, and that was one of the things that I thought was so awesome about her, that, she wasn't going to let me one up her, you know, like if I was learning something new, I had to teach her whatever that was. Or if she learned something new, she was teaching me so that we could just be the best teachers. And then, like I said, high school, like, I don't know why it didn't click. I guess I've always been like, had to learn things the hard way in my life. But high school, especially, like, I had so many wonderful high school teachers. And even though I like to say, like, math is my weak subject, like, I didn't struggle in math at all when I got to college. I had the best math teachers from middle school through high school at Mullins High School. And then, like I said, my chemistry and physics teacher, I absolutely loved his class. He was off the wall. Like, but he did that because he knew he could get high school kids' attention. Mm-hmm. And so then, like I said, he helped me get my first job in Horry County. And now he's the graduation coach at Aynor High School. So we're colleagues now. Aww. And that's really, and he's one of those people like Miss Julie Lynn who keeps trying to retire, but their heart is
it's a calling.
Yeah, like, yes,
and
really
so they
is.
Just keep coming back. And so I hope he keeps hanging out and hanging around because he's just so good, especially with at-risk kids. He just knows what kids need. So, like I said, I've just had, and I already talked about my fifth grade teacher and my teacher cadet teacher, so just lots of really good teachers.
How can us parents better support our teachers?
I think just letting teachers know that you're there to help, and that you have open lines of communication with the teacher. I know as a teacher, when I reach out to a parent, I want to keep those lines of communication open. And if your student is struggling academically, behaviorally, whatever, I want to know how from you, like, mm-hmm. how can I support your child? It's not meant to be a negative thing when I reach out to parents. And obviously I want to be able to call and have positive conversations as often as possible, but sometimes we have to have hard conversations. And so I think just being supportive of what, you know, your students' needs are and how you can help the teacher support those needs is the most important thing we can do. But, you know, I try to show up and I'll say my son's first grade teacher, I think, is his favorite teacher.
Okay.
And even though he's in fourth grade, a couple of weeks ago, she came to one of his football games. Yeah. And in the morning, like when he gets out of the car, he goes by her classroom and gives her a hug every morning before mm-hmm. he goes to class. And so when I think about that in terms of, like, since first grade, she's been showing up at ball games. And so I feel like those kinds of things as teachers, we need to do for you guys. And so I do try to come to chorus concerts and band concerts and ball games. And, you know, like I have students who wrestle and I didn't really know anything about it, but because my kids do it, you know, I've learned about it. Mm-hmm. Because I want my kids to know that I care about who they are more than just inside my classroom. And I think that's also a way to build relationships with parents, because when you show up, they realize, oh, she really cares about my kid.
Oh, it goes a long way.
Yeah. And right. I know it does for me as a parent. So, so I think it's important that we show up in the community that way so that we can build relationships with each other to better support the students.
I will say we had my youngest, his first grade teacher came to his chorus performance last week. And of course, she didn't have to or anything. It almost brought me to tears because she's like, no, I wanted to see Grayson. I wanted to see how well he was doing. And she would come to his basketball games last year. But she's continuing, just like you just said. It does. For us parents, you guys get to be around our kids almost more than we are around our own children. Mm-hmm. It just says a lot for us. I mean, my kids just love their teachers, so we're very blessed. But on another note, I know we are here at the Ignite Conference. We just had an unbelievable speaker, and you even mentioned you have used some of his TED Talks within your classroom.
You got to introduce him. Like, that was amazing. You know, it was Chris Singleton. I highly recommend, and I'm sure all three of us probably would, if you haven't had a chance to go listen to what he has to say and who he is and look up his bio. But you want to tell us about the TED Talk and how you utilize that?
I teach a AP IB English hybrid for juniors at Aynor High School. And so AP language, when you're building arguments and you're trying to, you know, you have to know what your audience believes, values, or needs. And so I've used his TED Talk, The Story Behind a Stance, because so many times you think you have an opinion on something, you think you know, and you're dead set on your opinion, but once you hear stories and you build that understanding, it may not change your stance, but at least helps you better work with other people who think differently from you. And I think that's such an important skill for our students as we operate in our communities, that you need to be able to work with and get along with all people, no matter what they look like on the outside, because it's who we are on the inside that matters. And so even my dad, he is a fertilizer and seed inspector for Clemson University. He's retired, but they keep bringing him back. And so a few years ago, he had an opportunity to go to Indonesia to inspect tobacco seed that's coming back into the United States. And so he had a mindset, you know, he said, I would go to these meetings, and he said the only thing we had in common was that we all spoke English, which was the business language. And so he was invited to go to a farmer's home in Indonesia, and he said, and I thought, what do I have in common with this man? We don't have the same religion. We don't, you know, have the same background. And but the man invited him to dinner, and they had dinner and told their stories. And he said, on the way home, I realized we had everything in common except, you know, accept our religion, essentially, that the things they valued, their family, their hard work, you know, that they had so much more in common. And so I think that's why, like Chris Singleton's story, the story behind A Stance, is so important for our kids to hear, because me telling the story about my dad is not going to have the same impact on our students. And you have to stay fresh. And I think his story is just so relevant to what our kids need to hear. But also, you know, you can connect it academically through standards as well, so that they're learning how to build their own arguments, how to address those things so that they can get their point across to people as they're writing and sharing, and then in the work world one day too.
Just to have their voice. Mm-hmm. I know he was very inspiring to
Jen and
I
was. I started off the presentation and I was like, oh, I'm going to keep a count how many times I cry during this. And then it was just a constant tear flow. So there was no keeping count, because it was so, it touched my soul, and it was something I needed to hear today specifically. So just, you know, hearing that, and we're thankful that this conference is happening today. I'm thankful for that for sure. And, you know, we're thankful for you being here sitting across from us.
I feel very blessed to be a part of it. No,
thank you for taking the time, though. Hopefully you get to stay for the whole conference today and hear some of our unbelievable keynote speakers for the remainder of the day.
Mm-hmm. This opportunity in itself to learn and grow, I feel like it's just right along with essentially the mission that I'm on this year, to empower other people and to help encourage people to be educators, because we need to fill those empty slots with high quality teachers. And
we do.
So I'm excited to learn and grow some more today.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it. And congratulations.
Yes.
One last question. When do you find out about National Teacher of the Year?
Yeah.
What's that process?
Oh, well, so today is the due date for the National Teacher of the Year application.
Is yours done?
I got an email while we were in the keynote that it has been submitted. So all that
that's a big step.
Yes.
Yeah. So now, did you send it in like right when you found out that you could send it in? Are you one that kind of wait to the very last second to make sure everything's perfect?
So I will say, like, the biggest challenge, if I pulled out my calendar right now, was having time to work on it, because I've had to be somewhere almost every day this month, including the weekends. And so it's been really hard to carve out time, because when I am at home, I want to be present, you know, with my own kids. So luckily there were things that were similar from the state application, and I have a really good, my moral support at my own school, like my teacher bestie next door, I can send her all the things for her to read. And so it might have been, you know, 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning when I'm feeding her stuff to read and go over. But it's been a really awesome process. But yeah, so I did finish late yesterday afternoon.
You got it in. So congratulations.
Exactly. And then what are the next steps once?
So I think we'll hear, they'll announce maybe the finalists sometime December, January.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then they'll announce the National Teacher of the Year around the same time, like Horry County and the state announces their Teacher of the Year. But this has been, these last 2 years have just been the biggest blessing, like more than I could have ever imagined to be in a role like this, because I am not a public speaker. And so I'm like, who? What, me? Like, are you sure?
But you know what? That probably makes you even better, because you just speak from the heart.
Yeah, and totally relatable, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Fingers crossed. Yes. Keep us posted. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And congratulations on all of your many accomplishments.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all so much for having me.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, Shannon, we want to thank so much Renee for joining us.
Yeah,
it was a wonderful conversation.
Really was.
She is certainly an empowering woman.
She is. And definitely appreciate all that she's doing for the youth in our community.
Absolutely.
But all across the state of South Carolina. And hopefully maybe even nationally.
I know, right? How exciting would that be?
That would be wonderful.
thank you all again for listening. And we want to wrap up Ignite Women's Conference as well. Yeah. We thank them for having us. It was such a wonderful experience. We got to record with Renee, listen to some amazing speakers. I really felt empowered after that conference. And we'll be back again for 2024.
Yeah.
As part of it.
Yes.
So. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Bye, mamas.
Bye.
We don't just get away at the beach, we get together. Because no matter what floats your boat, we're floating right along with you. With over 2,000 restaurants, live music all day and night, and endless attractions, Myrtle Beach was made for having fun and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 miles where you belong, the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.